I'll say good morning while people are still trickling in. Today is April 14th, is that correct? It's April 14th, 2024. That means on Wednesday, April 17th, there's announcements right here in your orders of worship and your bulletins, but there's a hand-foot game going on Wednesday. I think that's about it. We're praying for a parish associate or a parish nurse, Juliana, as she's on a mission trip to Nigeria, so there won't be blood pressure checks after the service. We do have a deacon's meeting after the service, so if you're a deacon, we'll be meeting as deacons. And then I just came from a student ministries meeting, and we're planning a worship night for May 4th. And it's the same day as the 5K, so it's going to be a little crazy getting here, but coming up with flyers and coming up with things around that. So if you have anybody that wants to experience church in a very unique iteration, invite them to Saturday night or Saturday night gatherings. Anything else? Have I said I'm glad you're here? No, not yet. Okay. I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad we get to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Let's actually stand up and greet one another in the name of the Lord. Holy fist bump, just in case there's colds rolling around. Sorry if you just sat down. I'm going to ask you to stand one more time. Stand if you're able, and I'll give us a call to worship. It's still resurrection season. It's Easter season. I wish we would call it, you know, like fall, winter, resurrection season. I think we should start calling it that. But that means I say he is risen. He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
Thank you. the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Our chaos back into order. Who makes the orphan a son or daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing. Jealous for me, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. great of his wind and mercy. And all of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions, eclipse the guy glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Eyes of grace is an ocean we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us.
Yes, how he loves us. Frederick Buechner said, to confess our sins to God is not to tell him anything that he doesn't already know. Until you confess your sins, however, they are the abyss between you and God. When you confess, they become your bridge. Join me as we read aloud from the screen or from your bulletin, the prayer of confession. Lord our God, You call us to proclaim the gospel, but we remain silent in the presence of evil. You call us to be reconciled to you and one another, but we are content to live in separation. You call us to seek the good of all, but we fail to resist the powers of oppression. You call us to fight pretensions and injustice, but we sit idly by, endangering the lives of people far and near. Forgive us, O Lord. Reconcile us to you by the power of your Spirit, and give us the courage and strength to be reconciled to others through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen. It is written in Ephesians, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Brothers and sisters, it is by God's grace and mercy that you and I are forgiven people. Please stand for our grateful response.
Thank you.
him. We sing hallelujah. Yes, right? Didn't that make you want to sing that? Okay, good. That's what this is about, right? We're in Easter season, resurrection season. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man, that's you try and match that energy. I'm going to get really tired. That's really good. We're in the Gospels. We're in the lectionary Gospels. This is lectionary year B. There's A, B, C, and then we're in B. That means millions of Christians are studying this text right now. And we're in the Gospel of Luke. A couple of reminders about Luke. Luke was a doctor. Most scholars think his main source was Mary, the mother of Jesus. And Luke is the Gospel of Luke is actually a part of a book series. There's two books. There's the Gospel according to Luke, and there's the Acts of the Apostles. And like most book series, the second one is kind of his point. Not to say that the Gospel of Jesus Christ isn't the point that Luke is trying to make, but the ultimate point is us. Luke actually ends his two-book series with a kind of a cliffhanger, implying that maybe we're Acts chapter 2427, verse 77b. We're a continuation of what we're about to read. And I'm going to actually read one more verse than is up on the screen. And I'll tell you why after I read it. This is Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 36, 36b. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands, look at my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds. He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations." Ponta, all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. This is the word of the Lord. Pray with me, please. God, I just thank you so much for loving us, sending your one and only Son to suffer, to die, and to be raised for us. Preach through me. And all God's people said. I forgot to say as an intro, we actually studied Luke on Easter Sunday. And do you remember who knew that Jesus had been risen on Easter Sunday according to Luke? The first were to know were the women, right? And the disciples didn't believe. Do you remember that? And I thought, and I said, it's a commercial for the Holy Spirit, right? Then road to Emmaus. A couple of people, a couple of the disciples find out that Jesus is risen. Then our text. All the disciples are in the room. We studied this last week. John had the fact the room is locked. First application, same as last week. When in doubt, what do? You gather together. The disciples don't know what's going on. They don't know which end is up. They gather together. They do what they've always done. They get together and they surround themselves with people they love. Right? Everybody with me? Good. Thank you for saying yes. Once again, Jesus shows up. I feel like I need to tell that story of a pastor who's just got a new job. He preaches a sermon and everybody leaves the room and they're saying, that's the best sermon I've ever heard in my life. That is absolutely phenomenal. That pastor was phenomenal. Next Sunday comes, he preaches the same exact sermon, verbatim. A couple people are like, okay, maybe we hired a dud, but we'll give him grace, you know? He does it the third week in a row. Somebody asks him, this time during the middle of his sermon, he says, somebody raises their hand and says, aren't you saying the same thing you said last week and the week before? And he said, when you start doing it, I'll stop saying it. That's kind of what I feel like this morning, because this is the same Sunday. This is the same sermon as Easter. In resurrection season, this is just on repeat. And we're still just trying to drive it into our souls, drive it into our bones, drive it into our actions, drive it into our lives. He is risen. Pop quiz, and you just got an A+. What's the first words, the first red letters in this section? He comes in and he says, peace be with you. It's just like I said last week. You might be carrying stuff. You need to hear that. Maybe that's all you needed to hear today. I'd say stick around. There might be some food in the fellowship hall later. But some of you, that's the only gospel you need to hear today. Jesus is alive, and the first thing he wants to give you is peace. He wants to take your stresses. Take your worries, take all the storms, and hand you peace. And then this time, they're startled, and they're frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. What does he say to them then? Why are you troubled? Why are you troubled? In context, he's talking to his disciples and he's easing their fear. In big picture, I think we can apply this text. If you have problems you can't solve, if you've had people come to you and say things that you were not expecting them to say, if you've been sideswiped and you've troubled, this message is for you. He's asking us this morning, why are you carrying these things? Why are you burdened by these things? Why are you troubled? Come to me. Come to me. Has anybody had one of those experiences like, I was not expecting that person to say that or ask that? I know I have. And this is the moment in the text that God is saying, next time that happens, say, Jesus, help me. I got a problem that's way too big. I have no idea which way to go. I have no idea which way to turn. I don't know what to say to that. He says, come, look at me. Touch my hands. Touch my feet. It is I myself. Touch me. A ghost does not have flesh and bones. As you see, I have. And then he does that. He says, and there's a show and tell section of this scripture. You know, he's standing. Imagine being in this room and he's saying, here, touch this, touch this. I'm here. I'm right here. And then he asks, do you have anything to eat? To be honest, as I was preparing for this sermon, that was my favorite sentence. That was my favorite sentence. I had a Greek professor when I was at Fuller Seminary, a guy named Lex Woodbury, and he would make up quotes from people. I'll tell you what I mean by that. Like, at the end of a class, he would see that we'd learned some huge concept, or we'd memorized some declension of some verbs, the aorist tense or something, onese, omenete, usi. That stuff's grounded in me. And so you would be in this class, and he would see the glazed look on the class's eyes, and he would say, oh, as Martin Luther used to say, that's enough for today. Or he would say, as John Calvin said, let's go home and go to bed. You know, he'd make these things up. But this isn't making left. I quote Jesus the Christ. Do you have anything to eat? I don't know. That was just rolling around with me all week. I don't know. I've got a weird mind. But it does say something. As scripture always does. What does it say? His resurrected body eats. What does that mean for our resurrected bodies? We're probably going to eat in heaven. We learned something, right? He's saying it to convince him he's not a ghost, but he's also teaching us stuff. Any cooks in the room? Chefs? I know my wife is like this. No, put your hand boldly up. She's an amazing chef. That means I think in heaven she's going to be let loose. Go for it. Rhubarb, all the stuff that Jason wouldn't eat. Cook it up. And then I love Luke right here. Because we know what he eats. Broiled fish. Anybody like Bear Flag? Anybody been to Bear Flag? Wahoo's Fish Kitchen? I got a quick poll. Here's another pop quiz. Do you like fried fish? Or do you like broiled? Well, which one's more? I like both. I know that. Fish is awesome. I stand to affirm a fish. But I'm totally a broiled guy. I'm way over. Wahoo's is way better than Rubio's. Baja Fish Kitchen's way better than all those fried places. Anywho, Jesus is eating good. And then he says the same thing the angels say to the women on Resurrection Sunday. And he says the same thing that John records. And it's one word. Remember. Remember. Remember all the times that I told you I was going to do this. And you look back on Luke, you look back on all the synoptics, you look back in John. He's saying, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and if I don't, I'm not the Lord. That's pretty much is what he's preaching. And this morning, I'm just calling us to remember. Remember how God has saved you and I. Remember that God said, I'm not going to leave you once you're mine. And then think back to that time. I'm thinking back to the time when I lost my mom. It's true. Everybody else left me. The only one that understood was the God who gave his only son for me. And then he opened up their minds. I think if this was in today's text, it would say, and then he blew their minds open. He blew their minds open. And he says, this is what is written. The rescuer will suffer, rise, and be dead. And then on the third day, he will rise. Yeah, sorry, I messed that up. And then he says, repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached to all the nations. This is when our to-do list starts rolling in. He starts with the 12. He says, this is our plan. This is our plan. You're to preach, turn to God. Turn to Jesus. Turn to the truth. And receive forgiveness every time. We receive forgiveness every time. We were studying this last night in small groups, and someone in my small group said, it's so interesting to me that Jesus doesn't yell at the disciples. Right? Who in here has been a teacher? Who in here has taught anything? How tiring is it to repeat things? Right? Don't touch that. Don't touch that. You cut your finger. Don't touch that. You cut your finger again. Don't touch that. It's frustrating. He's so patient. He's so loving. And every single time, what do we get if we repent? Forgiveness. Right? We were just tired. That did an awesome job, Doris. Forgiveness. It's that bridge across that chasm. And then he says, I'll tell you who you are. Get rid of all the background noise. People ask you, who are you? I remember I was a senior in high school, and my core group leader, my Bible study leader, said, who are you? And I said, I'm a high school student. And he says, no, that's what you do during your day. Who are you? I'm a son. No, that's your relationship to your family. Who are you? I'm a track and cross country runner. No, that's just like what you. Who are you? Who are you? These 12, they're fishermen. They're all these other things. He says, no, you're not any of those things. Who are you? You are my witnesses. That's who you are. That's not what you do. That's not only what you do. That's who you are. You're a walking scripture. You're a walking resurrection cross. You're a walking Jesus the Christ who suffered, died, and rose again so that you would be Christians, many Christs. You are my witnesses. And as they're reeling back on their feet and going, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. What does he say? Stick around Jerusalem. Stick around Jerusalem, and you won't have to. I will clothe you. I will clothe you in the Holy Spirit. I will clothe you in the God who did all this for you. Much like the Great Commission, I don't think it should be called the Great Commission. You know, he says, therefore, go and make disciples. Right before that, he says, all power, all authority on heaven and on earth has been handed to me to be given to you. Therefore, go make disciples. It should be called the Great Commissioner. And this text isn't calling us to be the great witnesses. It's calling us to the Holy Spirit. To be clothed in the Holy Spirit that we might witness and be Christ to this world that needs it so desperately. Applications, reminders. Receive peace this morning. Praise God for the Holy Spirit who opens our eyes to the resurrection. Remember the truth that Jesus Christ has never, isn't, or will ever let you down. Remember that Jesus has come amongst us. And remember the game plan. And the game plan is simple. We're post-Pentecost. Amen? We're post-resurrection. Amen? He is risen. The Spirit is upon you. The Spirit is in you. Clothe yourself in that which you are clothed in. Remind yourself that you are wrapped in the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. And bear witness. What does a witness do? They just say what they saw. They say what they heard. They report back what they felt. And they invite. Would you please stand with me? And may this song be our prayer. And as we continue in worship and continue in our Easter season, for he has risen indeed, we receive this morning's tithes and offerings.
Evangelist Dwight L. Moody said, "Every great moment of God can be traced to a kneeling figure." This time that we set aside on Sunday mornings to pray, we pray for one another, we pray for our world, we are literally kneeling, and this is holy ground. In this Easter season, we continue to celebrate the miracle and the mystery of our risen Christ. Will you please pray with me? Holy, merciful, and loving God, we love you, Father. We love you because you first loved us. You created each one of us with intention and love, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Open our ears to hear and our eyes to see where you are moving, where you are stirring fresh expressions of your Holy Spirit. Use us, O Lord, to be part of your plan for our lives, your plan for our church, for Costa Mesa, and indeed the world. Father, we pray for your great movement of peace in the Middle East. Quiet the rumblings between Iran and Israel so that calm thoughts and your peace may prevail in that region. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for a safer world. Use us, Father, to be a conduit of your peace, instruments of your healing, demonstrating your love to everyone we meet. Gracious God, we pray for our church. We pray for your wisdom and discernment as we seek to fulfill your mission in this corner of your kingdom in Costa Mesa. Strengthen our church community, O Lord, and help us be a beacon of light and hope, reflecting your love to our neighbors. We pray for guidance for our pastor and leaders, that they will seek your face and lead us with grace and compassion. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are sick or suffering, that they may experience your healing touch today and find strength and peace in your presence. Thank you for your healing touch on baby Theo, and we continue praying for his complete improvement and release from the hospital. We lift up those around us that need a fresh touch from your Holy Spirit. Starlette, Joel, John, Angela, Patty, Dick, Dusty, Buzz, Keith, Terry, Dick, Sandy, Jane's sister Pam, and Jennifer's sister Jerry. We pray for those who are lonely or struggling, that they may feel your love surrounding them and know that they are never alone. We lift up Dorothy Ceccarini as she moves into a care facility. Be with her and help her to acclimate to her new surroundings and to make friends. We pray for those who are grieving including the Slabaugh family, that they may find comfort in the midst of their sorrow and hope in the promise of eternal life. May each one feel your very presence with them today, uplifting them and bathing them in your mercy and grace. And Father, we pray for Sandy Corbett's nephew, Blake, a pilot whose plane crashed last night in the Cajon Pass. We pray for the search and rescue teams resuming their search this morning. Guide them in their efforts. We pray that Blake would be found alive and well, and soon. We pray for his extended family, that you will comfort them while they wait for the news. Father, we pray for traveling mercies for Juliana. May her trip be blessed by you and bring her home safely. Lord, we pause to lift up those close to us in need of prayer. We lift up these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And we continue praying as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you are able, please join and let's sing our final hymn.
May God's face shine upon you. May the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit clothe you. Guard your heart. And point you To Jesus the Christ, who brings the peace that passes all understanding, may this be so today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen.